Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, hello, hello. It is Stephanie here. Welcome aboard episode 71 of the Rent to Rent Success podcast. And today's episode is a fantastic one. I know you're going to love it. I'm so excited to be here with Bimbola Asagi and Dami Sayanbola. And they are rockstar property investors, rent-to-rent experts, sourcers, and lots more. So let's dive in. Welcome to the show, Bimbola and Dami. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Steph. Thank you for having us on your podcast.
It's so good to have you. As I say, I know you from Instagram, and you and your property podcast, which I also love, are all over the Instagram, and it's got a great name, the Propcast. Yeah. It's so phenomenal, and you've also got branding, and there's so much substance behind all of that. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting to know you both a bit more, and I know that our listeners and viewers will enjoy this one. So let's start off with you, Bimbola. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Bimbola?
Hi guys. So yeah, Bimbola Asagi. Right. I'm a woman that wears many hats, as I like to describe myself. But I'm a property investor. I've been investing in property for quite a while now. 15 years, I'd say, since 2005.
Wow.
I was doing that alongside my full-time job. So over the years, I was working and then investing on the side. However, I have such great passion for property and what it gives you, especially the freedom, you know, the passive income. I really love property, and you know, I literally started to work my way out of my job sometime in 2016, and then eventually I left 2018. So now I do this full time. Now, what was interesting though was when I was looking to leave in 2018. Even though I already had my own, well, I had passive income for my property, I felt like at the point when I was doing the transition, I needed to increase my portfolio. And the quickest way I could do that was to do the rent, you go into rent to rent. So my rent to rent journey started 2018. I was able to acquire quite a few properties in a very short space of time. And I know we'll probably go a bit into rent to rent and how, you know, how that works. But I remember then it was a bit difficult. It was a bit of a challenge. But as soon as I got the hang of it, it was like, you know, property after property after property. So that's basically my property journey, which then birthed a property business on the side as well. As you already rightly introduced, I do a podcast with Dami, so I'm a podcaster, and I actually host two different podcasts. I've got the Property One podcast, and I do have a lifestyle one, which is called the Best of Two podcast. So, and then I do other things as well. Yeah, so that's it about me. My daughter's about to come into the room, so I think I'll let Dami go ahead. Go on, Dami.
It's the joys of being at home and working from home. So once again, thanks Stephanie for having us. Hiya. Oh, look at that.
If you listen on the podcast, you'll have to check out the YouTube video to see Bimbola's lovely little one who's just joined her on screen.
It's awesome. Yeah, so myself, I've been in property now for 5 to 6 years. Started off with a couple of single lets, and now, you know, I've built a rent-to-rent portfolio over the last 12 months. So I've been able to, over the last 12 months, acquire about 17 rent-to-rents now. Wow. Two of them I manage, and then 15 of them are they're managed by the local authorities. So it means it's a hands-off investment for me, and I still benefit from the cash flow. So that's now allowed me to, that was my first aim when I started, you know, looking at how I'm going to structure the business, is to get enough rent to rents, which will provide a cash flow. Everyone knows you need cash flow in property. So that was kind of like the base. Now, this year, I've you know, started sourcing. So providing investments for helping other investors to also buy and secure properties. So I've got a sourcing company now, and we help investors, you know, with securing properties. And the plan is then next year we start acquiring properties ourselves. So that's kind of you know, what I'm doing at the moment. And yeah, it's just been an interesting journey. You know, you meet so many different people along the way. I podcast with Bim Bulla, and you know, we've had lots of guests, and we've had lots of different, you know, things that we talk about. So it's always it's an interesting journey.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I would just want to reflect on a few things. First of all, what Bim Bulla says was really interesting. A lot of people have rent to rent as their first strategy, but actually in Bim Bulla's strategy, she'd actually been investing since 2005. And then it wasn't until 13 years later that she decided to start up with the rent to rent strategy to add to the cash flow. So I just want people to see that there's different ways that you can approach it. So some people are going in because they have little money. Other people are going in because they have assets already. They bought property. However, they want to leverage using much less money for the investment to still make the same cash flow and build up the cash flow. And especially as you go into developments and so on, developments are very money hungry, and it's great to have some cash flowing properties. So I was really interested in that Bim Bulla said. And actually, but now you're back, Bim Bulla, I just want to ask you, what was the name of that second podcast? I didn't actually catch it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, the second podcast is called Best of Two Podcasts, but literally Best, B-E-S-T, of the number two podcast.
Okay.
This is basically my co-host and I just looking at the best of our upbringing, you know, as Nigerians in the UK. So we look at different topics from our African lens and from the British lens.
Yeah, lovely. That sounds interesting. I might check that out.
Thank you.
And then what you said was also very interesting, Dami. Everybody's ears will have pricked up who's listening and who's in rent to rent. First of all, it's phenomenal that you've got 17 properties in 12 months, especially in lockdown, because the last 12 months is lockdown, basically, in one variety or another. Well, certainly it's coronavirus times anyway. So not only that, but you've also got 15 that you're not managing where you're getting guaranteed rent. So you basically rented them out to the local authority. So we've got a lot to unpack there as well. So, So do you want to tell us about that, Dami? I would love to know more about it.
So, I mean, you know, every local authority has a budget that they have for emergency housing, because they need to house people who are homeless, in effect, or they need to house people who are in distress and people who are vulnerable. So every council in the UK have a budget for this. And if you're able to either you provide a service for the council or partner up with someone who's providing that service, where, you know, you provide the properties for the council will then take those houses from you. They'll manage it, they'll tenant it, and they'll pay you a monthly rent for it. So you're pocketing the difference between the rent you pay the landlord and the rent that the local authority pays you. So you have that little bit in the middle. And of course, you know, with rent to rent, the more you have, the more that cash flow pot builds up. So that's it in a nutshell of how it works. But of course, there's more intricacies to it. But just from a explanation basis, that's how it works.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. So I'll just take it off for a moment. What was I going to say? So it sounds like it's single lets rather than HMOs that you're giving to the council.
Correct, yeah. So three to four. I mean, 3 to 4 bedroom. It can be 5 bedroom properties as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. And they're just taking them as a family let. So they would give you the single, well, the family rate for whatever size, the bedroom, the property rate for that size.
Yeah.
So it's like a single let rent to rent.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing that for a year now. And I suppose the worry, the concern that people have about the renting to the council is the upside is there's no management and your rent is guaranteed, similar to what we're offering. But did it tend to come and it wasn't, or do you not know yet? Have they been well looked after? That's the scare. Those are the horror stories that you hear.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on what type of agreement you have with the local authority. So with these particular agreements, we have FRI leases with the councils. So if you know, that's a commercial term, the FRI lease. It's commonly used in commercial properties. And if an individual takes on an FRI lease, it means you're wholly responsible for that property. You're responsible for repairing it. Anything that goes wrong is down to the local authority. So in terms of being worried about damage to the property, that's all the responsibility of the local authority, and they will repair it because they've taken this FRI lease with us in effect.
Yeah. So just for listeners, that's full repairing and insuring.
Correct.
Lease. So that sounds phenomenal. So just another question on that. How did you get into it? I mean, did you know that it was there or did you accidentally drop into it? Did the council contact you? What happened? What was the...
No, it was through network, through a connection. They say your network is your net worth. So it's through the networks that I have. Through the relationships that I've been able to build. And I mean, we were working with a company and they kind of sit in the middle and they helped to source the properties. They helped to kind of do all the paperwork and things like that. So, but yeah, it's effectively from my network.
No, that sounds amazing. And do you want to talk... Bimbola, about getting started with rent to rent, because there you were buying properties. When you're buying properties, it's I was going to say it's easier, but then you've got to still find the deals. But yeah, you, as long as you've got the money, you can get the deals. How did you feel getting started in rent to rent? Did you feel confident at the beginning or did you feel hesitant?
Well, so I mean, for me, when I started, it was because I wanted an increased cash flow. And as you know, when you're buying a property as an investor, the buying process takes so long. I don't even know why it takes that long, but it could take anything from like 8 to 12 weeks or even more. So I didn't have 8 to 12 weeks per property. I needed to get my properties like ASAP. So when I first started, I think it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be. I think I went into it a bit of apprehension. And again, as most people always have this question, why would a landlord do that? Why would the landlord, you know, rent out their property to you? I kind of had that thought initially. But I think one of the things that really helped is because I was already an investor, I was already a landlord. I kind of know the terms. I know what landlords were looking for. I knew how to sell myself to a landlord. Did I get so many at the beginning? No. Even with that, I still didn't. And in fact, I think my very first one that I got, I actually got it through an estate agent. And I remember the conversation with the agent. So I presented myself as, you know, someone in the property business, and this is what I do, and I've been doing it for so many years, and you know. But then the first challenge was, how long have you been trading for? So even though I'd been trading as an investor for so many years, in terms of the rent-to-rent business, I literally was just starting. So that was the first setback that I had. But obviously there were ways around you know, that particular obstacle. So yeah, in answer to your question, I would say I thought it was going to be challenging and difficult, but as I did more of it, it got easier. And like, you know, one of the things that really helped was my friend, a friend of mine whom we started at the same time, we used to have this term, this wording, and we would say, it's a game of numbers, right? It's almost like when you're applying for a job, you apply and apply and, you know, they might say no, but eventually someone's going to say yes, you know, so you don't stop. You just keep going until somebody says yes. And literally that's how it was. I mean, it was even to the point where I had a rent-to-rent in another country. And I was managing all of that from here. So, wow. And I always like to tell that story because I really, you know, I just went on holiday once. And then I came across, I was just having a conversation with a friend abroad in the States. And I told her what I was doing. And I said to her, you know, would it be so nice to do that here? And she was like, well, actually. And, you know, so that's to let you know how once you get the hang of it, you can actually do it anywhere.
Right. Well, we need to come back to you on that one because I always say, you know, have them nearby, but you're managing from abroad. So that's phenomenal. So was that after you'd started rent-to-rent in the UK? Were you already doing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It comes easier once you've done it a few times. It's easier to outsource it, but definitely. That's brilliant. And what about you, Dami? When you first started in rent-to-rent a year ago, how did you feel about it? Were you apprehensive or were you just like gung-ho and like, I'm all in, I'm...
No, so I did my rent-to-rent training with Kevin McDonald in Progressive. And if you know anything about Kevin, you know how fired up he can get and how he just puts a rocket up everybody's, you know, behind. good old Kev. I wasn't apprehensive. I know a lot of people struggle with talking to agents, facing landlords. And yeah, I mean, maybe like on the first few ones, it was a bit like nerve-wracking, but to be honest, I you know, fortunately for me, I don't really struggle talking to people, and I don't struggle, like, if, you know, people when we're doing the training, you know, people are always like apprehensive about, oh, what do you say to an agent, how do you talk to an agent? They're just people at the end of the day. Some of them are even younger than you, right? You know, like, yeah. they've just come out of school and they're doing and people are scared of them, and it's like they're just agents and just they're people. Speak to them and be sincere. Like, don't try and be what you're not, in effect. So for me, personally, I didn't really have too many issues. And just like Bim said, it was a game of numbers, following all the strategies that, you know, we're taught, direct marketing, online marketing, speaking to agents. And then eventually, you know, one thing leads to another. That was it for me.
And let me ask you both, a lot of people struggle with, you know, getting the first one. And so I'll start off with you, Bimbala. How did you get your first one?
So let me try and remember which one was the first one. In a bit to answer that question, there was one that would have been the first one. And basically, I'd gone through the whole process. It was through an agent. And then the bit that we struggled with was... doing the reference, because of course my company was brand new, my property business was brand new, so they couldn't do a reference on that. And and then similarly, they wanted me to stand in as a guarantor, and I think I don't know what the issue was there, that couldn't happen. And I was actually going to just pay up for like 6 months up front, because I was at the point where I just need to get the first one. But anyway, the landlord wasn't really forthcoming with that, so so we didn't do that. And then eventually, my very first one was actually through another agent. And in order for me to just go through the challenge, I just offered them 6 months payments up front. I probably wouldn't do that now, and I probably wouldn't advise anyone to do that. But for me, that was how I needed to just get the first one. I just paid up for the first 6 months.
Yeah. And let me ask you as well, because people worry about that, but also, where are you based, Bimbala?
Well, I'm based in Kent.
Yeah.
Basically London M25, and this particular one was just further into Kent, so it was an area that I had another property, so I knew that, you know, that area worked, so I was willing to do that. So I had some money on me at the time, if I'm being honest, so I was able to do that because I just really wanted to get in there. But obviously the more that I did, I knew that I couldn't sustain paying 6 months up front. Like, that's just a waste of money. So I wouldn't do that anymore, but that was literally my very first one.
And if you can just give us a ballpark, because that sounds like a big investment, because people worry about, you know, doing rent-to-rent in areas like London, Kent. What was the monthly rent on it?
So the monthly rental was a bit over £1,000. So I paid, including my deposit and the 6 months plus agent, and this was when we still had to pay a lot of agent fees.
Yeah.
I think I paid up to about 13, maybe about £14,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it did mean then it was, most of it was paid back. You know, what I mean to say is, in the 6 months, you then don't, you know, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And what does the property cash flow you?
So I don't have that property anymore, funny enough. But then at the time, so I did a rent to service accommodation strategy.
Ah.
So every month, and I started as well, the good thing as well is I started just before summer. So I started in the spring, so which was a good time to start as well. So every month, the really good months, I think I cash flowed about £1,000 or thereabouts. And the not so good month, obviously, when we now went into the winter months, maybe about the worst, maybe about 400, average, maybe about 500-600. But then I give, I don't have that property anymore for some reason.
Do you still do SA?
I still do. So that's the other thing, actually, for all of my rent to rents are primarily for SA. So when I started, I did a training with a company, and I did my service accommodation training. Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know what, in order for me to do a lot more of this, I'm going to need a lot more properties. So I went into rent to rent specifically for the SA strategy.
Yeah, that's cool. And then what about you, Dami? What was your situation getting your first one? How?
So my first one was the one that I have in East London. And the story there was that the typically when you're trained, they teach you to, you know, for rent to rents, try and keep it local, try and keep it within your vicinity, because you're going to be managing it. It's a very hands-on strategy. So you don't want something that's too far away and it's going to cause you loads of trouble. But nothing was coming in my area. So I tried and I didn't get anything. So I expanded again, and something came up in East London. I was like, well, it's only an hour. So I I snapped it up.
Drive an hour to make some cash.
Yeah. Well, I tell you now, it's really annoying when I have to drive down. But no, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. But yeah, the situation on this one was that the owner of the house was moving country, and they were leaving to go back home. And so I was able to step in and essentially manage the property for him while he's away, and and be able to benefit from it from a rent-to-rent perspective. So it did involve having to do some refurbishment into the property, and what we did was, because the landlord didn't have the funds to refurb it, so I put in the funds to refurb it, and then I took a heavier discount on the rental, on the monthly rent that I pay, so that I can recoup that money in the first year, and then effectively, I've got the initial investment back.
Yeah, that's the other second thing that people really struggle with is the refurbishment. So, and they wonder how much is it or how much will it be? And so ballpark, Dami, what did you pay for the refurb?
So, you know, to help people with that, the way we were trained is you usually don't pay more than 6 months worth of profit, you know. So, but with having to do the refurb, it took it up to about a year, which is why I negotiated the heavier like rental discount. But yeah, all in all, it was about 12k for the refurb. Probably a little bit more. Like, would I do that now? I wouldn't do that now, but it was the first one, you know. You're getting your feet wet in the you know, would I do that now? No, but you know, it is what it is. The house is actually, it's going to be my sixth tenant is moving in on Sunday, so it's fully booked, and it'll be fully cash flowing, so I'm able to
recoup that investment. No, that's fabulous. Yeah, we spent a lot on our first one, of actually coincidentally around £12,000, but most people that in the group are spending somewhere between nothing at all or a few hundred, because it's already to go, or you know, a few thousand, not, you know, up to about three, I think, on average. But time is flying. I feel like we've only been talking for 5 minutes. I want to get from you as well. People love to know the tips and the things to look out for. So what would you say, and I know that you both teach people as well how to get started in rent-to-rent. So what would you say are the biggest mistake you made on your rent-to-rents that people should guard against? Let's start with you, Bimbola.
I hope my daughter doesn't talk. But one of the mistakes that I've made that I've come to realize now, actually, in the process of getting the properties, where I've gone with a private landlord, and I've gone through an agent, and I never really got the opportunity to meet the landlord. I would say now, advise people, I would say, you know, once you've gotten in, or just before you get into the contract, try and meet the landlord, even if you haven't gone through the landlord. And the reason why I say that was, there was one of the ones that I got at the beginning, a really fantastic place. And I actually got, it's a block of flats. So I started with the one, and then I got a second flat, and I was really, you know, almost praying for the other tenants to move out so I can acquire the rest of the flat, probably wouldn't have the whole building. But what happened was, I didn't meet the landlord. I went through the agent, everything was signed, sealed, and, you know, secured. And I started the business. And then a few months later, I met the landlord or landlady. And that was the first time I was meeting. It was even by coincidence as well. And then we got talking, and I realized that she didn't know. She didn't understand the full extent of what I was doing. So I blame it on the agent. Agent blame it on her. But basically, the consequence of that was I had to give that property up because it wasn't in line with her mortgage agreement or mortgage terms. Obviously, as an investor myself, I understand that, you know, they're set, and it's a block of flats. So of course, you've got the leasehold restriction. So I understood that, you know, I wasn't really, I didn't think it was malicious, but I think I was really upset about the fact that if I had known, or if she had known, we could have worked something out. Yeah. So that's one mistake that I would say to people: always get to meet the landlord at the very end. You know, even if you're going by an agent, before you sign on the dotted line, ask to meet the landlord. And I don't think any agent should deny you of that, because, you know, it's part and parcel of the it should be part and parcel of the agreement. So that's one I would definitely advise people to.
That's a good one. What about you, Dami?
That's a good question. I was so engrossed in Bimbola's story that I'm trying to think. So one mistake to avoid, I think just patience and not rushing into things, because, you know, when you really want that first one, like we've all said, we all probably did something we wouldn't do now. But actually also enjoy and learn from the journey, would because it was through doing that my eyes kind of opened up and I understood more And then I was able to move forward as well. So not only be patient, but, you know, in whatever you're doing, yeah, enjoy it, go through it and learn from it. And that's kind of what I would say.
Yeah. And what do you think are the best things about being in rent to rent? Go on. Well, either of you. Yeah. Actually.
I mean, best thing is you're controlling assets that, you know, you're controlling assets that are cash flowing, that are worth X amount of, you know, millions of pounds. And your entry into it was a deposit and first month's rent.
Yes.
It's not bad. You can go on Clubhouse and say, I control £5 million worth of property assets, you know? So yeah, I think that's one of the cool things about being a rent-to-rent.
What's the best thing for you, Bimbala?
So I think for me, I mean, this is one of the things when I do my training or when I try to help people understand the benefits of rent-to-rent, I reel through a number of reasons. And of course, the very first one is you can start really low. You know, we all know how much it is, especially for those of us that live in the south of England. We know how much you need to have to deposit on a property. But with rent-to-rent, you don't have to, you know, you just need your first month's rent, first month's deposit, and maybe a little bit for furnishing or whatever. So you can start with little money. You don't have to go through the stress of a mortgage. Now, again, a lot of people, there are some people out there that can't get a mortgage for so many reasons. Either they're new in the country, they've got credit issue, they're not earning a lot of money, or, you know, so many reasons why people can't get a mortgage. So rather than you just sit around, do nothing, you can get started with a rent to rent. Then also the ease to which you get started, just like Dami said, just, you know, being able to actually control. So it's a good way to actually get your hands dirty. You basically get to know how it works without you having the stress of a mortgage and blah, blah, blah. And I think the other thing as well, which I always say to people as well, if you don't like it, you can get out. Like, you can literally just get to the other end of your contract, or you can call in the contract. If you had a property that you were buying or that you've bought or purchased, you're going to have to go through the period of having to get rid of this property, assuming you don't want to. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that I know that's gotten into it and, you know, with having the right cash flow, doesn't want to carry on. But however, I mean, the option is there. So I think it's the ease of getting in, the ability to get out, not having to put in so much money, not having to go through a mortgage, you know, just getting started, controlling asset, controlling things that you don't own, and yet still being able to make that extra money. It's amazing. It's amazing. And of course, for me, my biggest one personally was just having that cash flow, you know, that additional cash. Because at the time when I was leaving my job, yes, I did have passive income from my property. I was also living a sixth income salary in the city of London. So, you know, being able to at least, you know, have something that could almost match, though, at least get me close to that was fantastic.
Yeah. So,
I've got one more, Steph. The other thing that I really like about rent, well, I guess property in general, not just rent to rent, but it's the sense of pride that you are providing someone with a home to live in. Like, literally everyone who has a room is kind of their mini home, regardless of where they come from or their background or their history. It can be a chance for a new start for some people. It can be the chance to have another sort of family unit within, you know, that home. So I love that aspect as well, whether it's rent to rent or, you know, you're renting your own properties out.
No, that's phenomenal. So I think the thing to end on is, tell us a bit about what you have planned for 2021. And then we can go from there. What about you, Bimbala? Tell us about what's 2021 for you?
2021. Wow. So my property goal for 2021 isn't actually anything to do with rent to rent. Is that okay?
Of course.
So my present. So basically, if I go back to 2020, it was one of those years where it started off really dry, really low, and I was thinking, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And then it picked up drastically. I mean, just like Dami, a lot happened in 2020 that I was so grateful for. So I think for me, my goal coming into 2021 was I wanted to do a lot more of what I did last year, but bigger opportunities and bigger deals. So last year, I did a lot of purchasing, joint venture, HMO. And then this year, I want to focus a lot on conversion. So either it be a house to flats conversion or commercial to residential conversion. So my property goal for 2021 is a lot, so many conversions and a lot of project management work as well, because I do project manage other people's projects, and then it'd be, a lot more training as well. Because I started training last year just because I had a few people asking me so many questions, and I really enjoyed training and helping people understand how rent-to-rent works. So I definitely want to do a lot more of that this year.
That's phenomenal. What about you, Adami?
So for this year, my property goal is to serve 20 property investors by helping them to find investment properties. That's it this year. Next year's acquisition. So, yeah.
Love it. I love the strategy. I love the long-term strategy and the way you really break it down on the podcast. I know that you are phenomenal teachers. So I just want to say, if you are watching or you're listening to this, you need to go out and check out Damian Bimbola at the PropCast podcast. And you can also check them out on Instagram. What's your Insta, guys?
So he's at PropCast.
Okay. Yeah, at PropCast. Yeah.
At prop underscore cast. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Damian Bimbola, and sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your expertise. We've only been able to touch on the surface of what you guys do, but it's been amazing speaking to you, finding out what you do. And I love the way that you really did break it down. Also, thank you for watching and for listening. It's been phenomenal to be with you again. Just before we leave, guys, is there anything you would like to say if anybody's listening to this and they're thinking of getting started? What would you say to them?
I think I would say that it's very doable. It's possible. A lot of people have a lot of apprehension when they hear about rent to rent. So many questions, so many, I don't think I can do it. And even with the training as well, that's another thing. Even with going on training, listening to other people talk about rent-to-rent, there's always still this barrier of, can I actually do it? So I want to say to anyone that is feeling that way or hasn't started and they do want to get started, I just want to say, go for it. You just have to do it. It is doable. It works. A lot of people do it, and they've been doing it for so many years. Obviously, we are examples of people that are doing it and are making money from it. And nothing should stop you from taking the plunge.
Great. Do you want to add anything, Tammy?
Action cures fear. Take action.
Love that.
And your fear will go away.
Yeah. Love that. And it's so true. Thank you, Damian Bimbola. Thank you again for watching and listening. So until next week, have a great rest of the week. And remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent to rent HMO book, and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.